Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, The Stealing of the Boys and Calves by Brahma. This is verse number 20. Svayam atmana govatsan. Svayam atma govatsan. Prativaryatma vatsapai. Prativaryatma vatsapai. Gridam atma viharaischa. Gridam atma viharaischa. Sarvatma pravishad vrajam. Sarvatma pravishad vajam. Svayam atma govatsan. Prativaryatma vatsapai. Vridan atma viharaischa. Sarvatma pravishad vrajam. Someone else, please. Svayam atmana ratsan. Ladies, please. Svayam Atma, Krishna, who is personally the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul. Atma Govatsan, now expanded into calves that were also He Himself. Prativaryatmavatsapai. Again, he himself was represented as the cowherd boys controlling and commanding the calves. Kridan, thus himself constituting everything in these transcendental pastimes. Atmaviharaicha, enjoying himself by himself in different ways. Sarva Atma, the Supersoul Krishna. Pravishat, entered. Vrajam, Vrajabhumi, the land of Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda. Translation, now expanding himself so as to appear as all the calves and cowherd boys, all of them as they were, and at the same time appear as their leader, Krishna entered Vrajabhumi, the land of his father, Nanda Maharaj, just as he usually did while enjoying their company. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Krishna usually stayed in the forest and pasturing ground, taking care of the calves and cows with his associates, the cowherd boys. Now that the original group had been taken away by Brahma, Krishna himself assumed the forms of every member of the group without anyone's knowledge, even the knowledge of Baladev, and continued the usual program. He was ordering his friends to do this and that, and he was controlling the calves and going into the forest to search for them when they went astray, allured by new grass. But these calves and boys were he himself. This is Krishna's inconceivable potency. He, as explained by Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranay Ritir Ladini Shaktir Asmat. Radha and Krishna are the same. Krishna, by expanding his pleasure potency, becomes Radharani. The same pleasure potency, Ananda Chimaya Rasa, was expanded by Krishna when he himself became all the calves and boys and enjoyed transcendental bliss in Vrajabhumi. This was done by the Yoga Maya potency and was inconceivable to persons under the potency of Mahamaya. Om Gyanatamidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha. This is a wonderful pastime. Krishna is totally amazing. Look what Krishna does. There's that nice chapter in Krishna book, Wonderful Krishna. So how wonderful is Krishna? Just look at what Krishna can do here. That he can expand himself into so many different beings. I wanted to just take a moment, since the chapter summary here is brief, I wanted to just read through the chapter summary, as is in the very beginning of this chapter. This chapter describes Lord Brahma's attempt to take away the calves and cowherd boys, and it also describes the bewilderment of Lord Brahma, and finally the clearance of his illusion. When I read that, I was thinking, that this is what we're doing. We're actually working on clearing our illusion, as we know there's the different defects that we've got. And one of them is to be illusioned. So by this wonderful process that Srila Prabhupada has given us of chanting Hare Krishna and attending the morning program and associating with devotees, we see that gradually that illusion dispels. Although the incident concerning Agasura had been performed 1 year before, when the cowherd boys were 5 years old, when they were 6 years old, they said, "It happened today." What happened was this. After killing Agasura, Krishna, along with his associates, the cowherd boys, went for a picnic within the forest. The calves, being allured by green grasses, gradually went far away, and therefore Krishna's associates became a little agitated and wanted to bring back the calves. Krishna, however, encouraged the boys by saying, "You take your tiffin without being agitated. I shall go find the calves." And thus the Lord departed. Then, just to examine the potency of Krishna, Lord Brahma took away all the calves and cowherd boys and kept them in a secluded place. Don't mess with Krishna. Don't mess with him, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And especially, let's not mess with the external energy of Krishna, because we will never win with that. When Krishna was unable to find the calves and the boys, he could understand that this was a trick performed by Brahma. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, in order to please Lord Brahma, as well as his own associates and their mothers, expanded himself to become the calves and boys exactly as they were before. Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam. That's from the Brahma Samhita 5.1. When one full year had passed, Brahma returned and saw that Krishna was still engaged in his as usual with his friends and the calves and the cows. Then Krishna exhibited all the calves and cowherd boys as forearm forms of Narayan. Brahma could then understand Krishna's potency, and he was astonished by the pastimes of Krishna, his worshipful Lord Krishna. However, bestowed his causeless mercy upon Brahma and released him from illusion. Thus Brahma began to offer prayers to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are difficult to understand for those who are under the illusion or under Krishna's external energy. But as one becomes more purified, as one chants more, as one follows the process, Krishna starts to reveal to us his pastimes. We can understand those pastimes. Just as I've said in previous classes, remember when I was reading to the Gurukul children and putting them to rest, they would say, "Oh, Prabhu, we've heard these stories so many times." However, by repeatedly hearing these stories over and over and over again and practicing this process of bhakti yoga, then we develop more and more realization. We start to develop more love for Krishna. We want to hear more about Krishna, just like the parent wants to hear how nicely their child will be doing. You see parents, they get together outside, you hear them, the mother is talking to their friends about their child and things that the child is doing in school and how well the child is doing just at home. And so, you know, we like to speak about those people that are very dear to us. Now, Krishna, as Krishna becomes more, we become more dear to Krishna, and we develop more of an attraction for Krishna, then we want to speak more about Krishna. We'll see things that remind us of Krishna. We may see anything. It could be a vase. It could be an incense holder. We see a car that's being used in Krishna's service. It reminds us of Krishna. We see a devotee. It reminds us of Krishna. Devotee with tilak, dressed in dhoti or saris. This reminds us of Krishna. We see foodstuff that's offered to Krishna. This is Krishna. This is prasadam. So, as we know, everywhere that Srila Prabhupada went, he was in Vrindavan. His consciousness was in Vrindavan. He would see everything related to Krishna. He would see Lakshmi. He would say, oh, let's have this Lakshmi and let's print books. He would see a building. Oh, this would make a very nice temple for Krishna. So everything that Srila Prabhupada saw was for Krishna's pleasure. Because Srila Prabhupada understood that everything comes from Krishna. As we're moving through the 10th canto now, we're getting to the end of where Srila Prabhupada was personally translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's interesting to note that the purports are very large. There's many purports that are very, very large, 2-3-page purports. So here's Srila Prabhupada towards the end of his life, when most people would just retire, when people just, who were not interested in Krishna, who have no idea about Krishna, who have spent their whole life thinking about sense gratification and how to enjoy the senses, how to acquire more money, more wealth, fame, adoration, distinction. At the very end, material energy just, you know, puts them in a position where they can't do anything. And we've seen, I've seen even with my own, some of my own relatives that have passed away, when I was there personally and I saw them, and you know, incoherent, weren't thinking about Krishna, and even to that very end was trying to enjoy. But Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna is amazing. Krishna can do amazing things. And I personally saw this when my own material father was passing away. He was totally incoherent and under drugs and didn't even know that I was there. So I came in the middle of the night and I started reading Bhagavad Gita. And I also gave him some Ganges water. I poured Ganges water in his mouth. And I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, and I was tired because it was in the middle of the morning. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had flown to New York, so I hadn't rested. And I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, and I stopped for a minute just to close my eyes. And all of a sudden, my father says to me, please keep reading. So I thought this was amazing. I looked at him, and he was looking at me, and he says, please read more. So I continued to read more and discuss Krishna consciousness, and he became very coherent. We were having a conversation just like I'm speaking to you now for a couple of hours. And then the sun came up, and the doctor walked in, and all the nurses came walking in, and here's my father sitting up, and he's looking at the doctors. And the doctors were like, what's going on here? They looked at me and says, what did you give him? What did you do? So my father said, Hare Krishna is here. And then he went back into being, you know, in, he wasn't coherent after that, and that was it. But it just goes to show you how the soul is yearning, how the soul is wants to hear about Krishna. This is our natural constitutional position, to hear about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the more we hear, the more enlivened we become, the more inspired we become. We heard the other day, I don't remember I think it was in class. It was either here or when Rabindranath Prabhu was reading over in the prasadam room. Someone asked about being enthusiastic, or it might have been on Saturday and Sunday when the Srila Prabhupada memories are being played. But how do we be enthusiastic? Well, just by being enthusiastic. But that's a bit of a challenge sometimes. So, how do you be enthusiastic? Go back to the basics. Chanting Hare Krishna. Go back to the basics. Associate with devotees. Go back to the basics. Hear and chant. Hear and chant. Hear and chant. It's not necessarily that the body is going to, not feel pain, or there's things in life that are challenges and we have to deal with those. But the main thing is hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting. Keep hearing and chanting. Just keep associating. Keep putting good thoughts, the good things into our ears, into our head, and then naturally that's what comes out. So Srila Prabhupada showed by perfect example how his whole life he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He was absorbed in hearing and chanting and doing service for his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And therefore, at the time when Srila Prabhupada, it would appear that somebody would just, not just want to be taken care of and their have some of their material needs met. And Srila Prabhupada continued to translate the Srimad Bhagavatam with complete enthusiasm. And as we see, we can read these purports. I mean, this here is a testimony to what Srila Prabhupada was doing, even though he was getting near the end of his life, external life here on this planet. But he was still preaching the glories of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was still giving Krishna to us. Now, these stories, they're inconceivable to persons that are under Krishna's Mahamaya energy. So it's very important that we, in order to understand these stories, that we continue to stay fixed on the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Rukmini Dwarkadish, Gorni Tai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Stay absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Activities of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in all of his books, there's so many places that we can go to where Srila Prabhupada gives an instruction. There's so many letters. There's so many senior devotees. So the process of Krishna consciousness is a wonderful process. It's always increasing. It's always ever fresh. Some devotees here, as I look, I see that they've been chanting Hare Krishna for 45, 48 years, maybe some even longer than that, but they're still chanting. How is it that three words, Hare Krishna and Rama, they have so much in them that we can continue year after year after year after year and get a taste? How is that possible? Because these are not ordinary words. This Hare Krishna mantra, this transcendental sound vibration, is not ordinary. It's actually imported. It's from the spiritual world. We're having that opportunity in this life to connect with this spiritual sound vibration. And in this age of Kali Yuga, it's so easy. We just have to chant Hare Krishna. And what to speak of, we chant Hare Krishna. Everything around us is benefited. I saw one devotee outside this morning when I walked across the street, and he was chanting. He was on the sidewalk, and he just happened to be like looking in the tree, and I was thinking how there's a soul in that tree, and this tree is getting benefit. In fact, even the trees, you can look around, you can see all the trees are like this. They're all you know, but they have their arms extended. So, but everything, everyone that hears the mantra benefits. Even insignificant things like wearing neck beads. Well, it's not insignificant, but I'm saying to the external eye, you don't really necessarily notice. You know, lots of people wear neck beads, wear lots of things on their neck. And someone was walking on the sidewalk who I know from Culver City. And he said, you know, every time I saw you, I thought of Krishna. Now, he's seen me, I know for sure, he's seen me without a dhoti. Because whenever I saw him, I wasn't dressed in devotional clothes. So I said to him, I said, well, how did you know I was a Hare Krishna? And why did you, and you would think of Krishna. He says, because of your neck beads. Then he saw me, because he lives down the street now, and in the morning he walks to work, so he sees all the devotees, he sees, you know, me dressed in a dhoti, and he said, oh. He said, I always knew you were a Hare Krishna, and you always reminded me of Krishna every time I saw your neck beads. So, you know, it's important as much as possible, devotional clothes. People will think of Krishna. You know, they see us chanting. They think of Krishna. This is to their betterment. So, as Srila Prabhupada again at the end, towards the end, 1977, was preaching so enthusiastically. So that's our mission too. But we can't possibly understand these pastimes through our blunt material senses. We can't understand them if we're not in the right consciousness, because then what happens is things are started to see for our own sense enjoyment. And everything here, these flowers, everything, the way the temple is decorated, this is all for Krishna's glory. It's all for the pleasure of Krishna. Of course, we benefit also, so we're better benefiting from all that, because then we see how beautifully the deities are dressed, we see the nice flower arrangements, we see how nicely Srila Prabhupada looks sitting on the Vyasasan with his change of clothes every day, and the devotees they're so steady in keeping everything looking so nice and clean. So we can absorb this vision of what's in front of us, and it goes in our heads and it goes in our heart, and we're thinking about this throughout the day. And how many times do you're walking and then you think, or you're doing some work, or you're on the computer and you may see something that's purple, and then you remember, oh, the deities were wearing these beautiful purple outfits today. So you know, that's a true testimony to how hard everyone here is trying to serve Krishna and chant and become purified. And I become enlivened when I see all the devotees here. They're doing such nice service, and coming to the program every day. It's very inspiring. So that's how I get faith. And we speak about faith in Krishna consciousness in Bhagavad Gita. You know, faith comes from association with devotees. So that association is very, very important. And I know that different devotees have told me at different times, and we've had discussions about this, how important association is. So looking around here, you're all not ordinary people. You're all extremely special people because you're dedicating your lives to Krishna. Those of you that are listening to class as well, you also are not ordinary. You're very special. You're taking your moment now at 8:10 almost this morning to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam class, no matter where you are. And I know that you're out there, because people tell me how they're out there watching class. They watch the morning program, and they become inspired by seeing devotees chanting so nicely before the deities. We're having these really nice kirtans. Guru Puja today was so ecstatic. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for that nice Guru Puja. Guru Puja was just so ecstatic. And then you can hear the devotees when we're doing the Premajwani prayers. You know, Savasprabhu, you were real loud, and then all the devotees are like, Jai, Jai, Jai. Everyone is like so ecstatic. So, you know, that we're setting the tone for our day. We're setting the pace for our day today. So, yeah, if you're feeling a little tired or you don't feel like, you know, you don't quite have that enthusiasm, just kind of plug in, you know. It's like this light right now is not on, but you plug it in the wall, you flip on the switch, you have a bright light. And Krishna is light. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. So we're trying to think how to really understand these pastimes, how to understand Krishna's inconceivable potency. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is it. We have it right here. Keep plugging in. Don't take the plug out. Keep that light on. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. I see some smiling faces. That's really nice. That's ecstatic. This is joyfully performed. This is a great process. And all challenges, Jai, Haribo! All of the challenges in life. We're in the material world. There's going to be challenges. You know, we're going to feel pain here. We're going to feel pain here. We're going to feel pain here. You know, that's life in the material world. But if we just keep going, keep going, keep going, all success will be there. So it's 8:10. Thank you very much for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class on the internet. Thank you very much for watching and listening. I wanted to see if there was any questions or comments. Bhrigupati Prabhu. Microphone, or you can ask the question and I'll repeat it. The microphone's coming.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class. In relation to your that anecdote of you described of when your father was passing away, I was just wondering if you got any further explanation from the doctors, because you know generally when somebody's dying with dementia or Alzheimer's or just dementia?
He had cancer of lungs, the liver, the bones, and he was on morphine for quite some time. Like, you know, family would come visit him and, you know, he couldn't have a conversation with anyone.
Right.
So that's why I was surprised when I'm there and I'm reading and then I know the soul's benefiting, but and then he wakes
did
up.
They, did they? Because usually when people are in that kind of a condition, they don't pull out of it to be able to be coherent for a couple hours and have a conversation with somebody. So just wondering if they offered any explanation for how that happened. And no, okay.
No, not
okay.
At all.
And how about you gave sort of like a very cursory explanation. You said the soul's yearning for Krishna. But how would we understand that? Because medically speaking, that shouldn't have happened. So how is it possible that your father, maybe you could elaborate upon that. What would be the explanation that we would give in terms of our philosophy of how that would be possible for somebody to pull out of a physical condition like that and all of a sudden be coherent again for 2 hours and then just slip back into it and then that was it?
Well, to me, it's like a miracle. I mean, I can't really understand why or how that happens. You know, just even from a material point of view, you know, looking at people that can dedicate their life to chanting Hare Krishna, following four regular principles, they just can't fathom how can you do that? You know, they don't understand. So there's a lot of things, you know, that are totally inconceivable and in how these things happen. I had been praying about it to give me the opportunity to at least before he passes away that he can hear something about Krishna, because he was always favorable, but you know, didn't really believe in Krishna consciousness or just, you know, because he always looks at me as a son, and he's my fanatical son, and you know, he was always a little bit challenging about what I was doing, but favorable, respectable. So when I was flying up, I was praying to Krishna to, you know, at least if nothing else, let me give him the opportunity to take some of this Ganges water that I had brought in a vial, and I can give it to him. And it turns out his mouth was wide open, and he was just laying there, and then I poured some in his mouth. And so that and then I was able to sit and just read, knowing at least that the soul, and hopefully the soul can hear, but to have a conversation like this was just totally beyond me. I don't know. All right, I see Maharaj has got his hands up. And original 1 second. So we've got, can I see those hands up of people that, okay, so I would like to give the microphone to Maharaj first, please. And then I'll come over here. Go ahead, Maharaj.
Thank you very much for a very nice class. I'm enjoying it. This question that just has arisen as Prigupati's question, you know, what explanation is there? Well, the only thing, as you said, it's rather miraculous, but in another sense, it's not. It's not in the sense that you were chanting Hare Krishna, weren't you, to your father? Wasn't that going on? So when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna and his name are non-different. So you were giving him Krishna. And what is impossible when you give Krishna? Of course, it is Krishna's choice as to whether he wants to manifest himself and make this particular individual become alert and become more alive than he had been. That's Krishna's doing, since you gave him Krishna. So Krishna is right there. And therefore his soul was connecting with Krishna. And that, in a sense, woke him up, and he began to speak with you about, I assume, spiritual matters. Yeah? Because that's what
we were discussing Bhagavad Gita, so then we had a conversation about it. And he asked questions.
If we should not underestimate the value of the holy name. The holy name can do all sorts of miracles, as you were just mentioning, and we don't explain them in normal, ordinary scientific terms, although I'm sure that there's a scientific basis, which is a science far beyond and above what we normally know, because it's of a transcendental nature. So, therefore, what more do we need? The holy name is all-powerful, all-encompassing, and can do that. And it seems that it was a very special grace that was given to you and your father, that you had the opportunity to talk with him and to talk about the Lord and to prepare him, in a sense, for a divine direction or divine place.
Yes.
This is very, very wonderful. So that chanting of the name actually was it's a great blessing, and that's what you did, and that was the result of your chanting. It was more than just words. It was you gave him Krishna, and Krishna connected with the soul. And when the soul was awakened and stimulated, it caused conversation, which you just discussed. So it's miraculous, and for Krishna, that's a small time, nothing. He can do so many things. But on the other hand, we have to appreciate that it is a great, great, wonderful thing.
Sorry. Thank you very much for that. No? Okay, great. Very good. Thank you. So we have... We can do like two or three more minutes. And I know that Bhakti Original, you had a question. And then hopefully I have a moment. And Bhakti Sebastian Prabhu had a question or a comment. Do you want to say something?
So I've actually read different stories about people who are dying and on a lot of medication. And they frequently will have a flash of consciousness, but it only lasts for a second. Mm. So I really do see this as a miracle. But like Swami was saying... you know, I wouldn't put anything past Krishna, because I've experienced miracles myself, miracles of sight, miracles of sound, miracles of different varieties, and I can't even speak the miracles that I've been experiencing for the 2 weeks that I've been here. It's just overwhelming. I frequently am brought to tears of joy because of the miracles that I'm just experiencing. I know that I'm not worthy of experiencing, but it's Krishna's mercy, it's Krishna's grace, and I think that we just have to recognize the the miracles that are happening daily to us all the time. That we just sometimes we just get used to it, and when we pay attention, I think we see them, you know, for what they are.
Well said. Thank you very much. So I hope everyone has a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness, and thank you very much for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.